You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters.
Episode 9, Time for Food Ownership, with host Linda Borgi and guest Diana Pieri.
Hello, everyone. Linda Borgi here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? Once again, with another delicious, delicious podcast for you. A very interesting guest. And she's someone that I just met through Evan Folds. She's from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But people think that just because we live in the same state, we live close to each other, but she's far, far away. So let me do as I do on all my podcasts. Let me read you her bio. This is Diana, by the way. In 2015, I was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer. All is well now. This definitely got my attention. I learned that this can happen when the immune system is weak. What makes the immune system weak? The reason for me was not enough vegetables. I love to cook. I'm a self-proclaimed foodie. It turns out I was using my superpowers for evil instead of good. Now, fully focused on nutrition, the change has been immediate. Hubby and I purchased a residential lot in our neighborhood, and I turned it into a big organic garden. What did I know about growing a garden? A neighbor asked. Nothing, I replied, but I can Google it. We've made many mistakes, and we've had a lot of fun learning. Our 14-year-old computer kid is learning how to drive the new tractor. We sold the boat, bought the tractor. Plant and make compost tea and harvest and more. We eat lots of veggies now. What we have extra, we give away to neighbors and friends. Now that we have figured some things out, I am talking with city leaders to create more community gardens in our area. As a real estate broker owner, I am very interested in helping to create community gardens in other neighborhoods too. Stay tuned. P.S. Hubby and I are currently taking classes to become master gardeners. Well, Diana Pieri, are you there?
I am.
Hey, honey bunches of oats, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking your time. I know you're one busy lady. My goodness, Myrtle Beach, real estate, farming. Boy, you wear many hats, don't you?
Yes, and on top of that, we own a very, very busy pizzeria, so.
Oh, dear gosh. Well, I'm sure you're going to be growing a few tomatoes there now, are you?
The name of it is Basil's Pizza, and we're going to, I just ordered 4,000 basil seeds. So
how lovely, lovely, lovely. Mine are popping up already. Genovese, absolutely. Oh yeah. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your story, about your background?
Well, the genesis of our organically grown garden. There's a lot in our neighborhood, just a few lots away from our home. And I had bought and sold it 3 times over in my real estate career. And it has full sun and it's been mowed for 40 years by different owners. So I told my husband, this is an opportunity for us to put in an organic garden, right steps away from the house, and greatly benefit from it. And so once we started figuring things out, we dug a well, we put in a fence, we found out, Googled how to do irrigation and learned a few things and along the way. So our motivation is to find other. So as a real estate professional, my greatest wish, like the most fun I can have, is to go neighborhood by neighborhood and find that one lot that is misshapen or too small to build on or next to something that's undesirable to live next to, and getting an agreement with the HOA or the neighbors themselves and break ground on a community garden and give them an outline of how to set up the parameters of how a community garden would work. Give it to them to run it. I make no profit. I get no gain. All I get is a sense of community, and I like to learn some and then teach somebody else how to do it.
Well, why don't you explain what happened? What was the change when that piece of land went from turf to food? Was there a change in that neighborhood?
Nope.
I mean, did the neighbor, was there a change in the people? Did they enjoy it? Did they like it? Were they against it? Did they ask you what you were doing? Because, you know, at one point it was grass and it was being mowed for 40 years and now there's food growing on it. What was the difference in the neighborhood?
Well, the people that bought it were living in Canada. They were Canadians, and they were going to retire there. And then the dollar bounced to a 30% difference, and they would have to take a hit on their retirement dollars to move here. So it was not a possibility. So they had to sell it, and the price kept dropping. And I saw that as a real estate professional in my MLS. And so it became an opportunity. So living in this neighborhood for 17 years, my neighbors were waved to them on the street, but you didn't have any camaraderie. There was no gathering place. There was no gathering reason. And so once we started breaking ground, all the, you know, folks kind of came to the fence, you know, and we have a great relationship and a great camaraderie. And they would ask, you know, what do you know about gardening? And I go, nothing, but I can Google it, you know. And so you would be amazed at all the fun things that we have learned and tried, and we just have so much fun. And so the neighbors love it so much. They wanted, you know, I wanted to do a community garden for them. As a matter of fact, there was a vacant lot right behind our property. And so we tried to buy it, but then realized it was fully treated. It would take an additional $15,000 to get the roots out and put dirt in. And so it was cost prohibitive. But what we did find was another lot in the neighborhood owned by the city. And so I approached them about buying it. And they wouldn't sell it. So I said, well, I have an alternate use, and I'm not sure, you know. And he said, what alternate use, Miss Pieri? And I said, I was going to put a community garden for my neighbors. You know, we're going to till it for nothing and get the fence up and, you know, and get the beds dug and let the neighbors, you know, enjoy it as well. And the guy at the city, that was the head honcho. He almost did a backflip right there on the phone. And he is, through the recs department, he's going to put a community garden there for the neighborhood. So we're pretty excited.
Look at you. What a seed you planted.
Yeah, and then there's another community just across the way. It's the town of Atlantic Beach. I had a meeting with the city manager. They have a lot of vacant properties, and I thought they would love the idea. And so they are putting that before their city council, or town council, I should say, for agreements and see if any naysayers are going to put a wrench in our plans. But so I've laid the groundwork there, and then two residential neighborhoods that I have friends in and sold property to, and are good. Actually, I'm very, very good friends with both of the HOA presidents through my real estate career. So we have four community gardens, you know, already in the works, and it's like my greatest, like, little toy, if you will, just to go neighborhood by neighborhood and kind of infect my county with fresh food. You know what I mean?
That's what our principles are. I mean, we need to convert this 48.5 million acres of turf to food production areas, to growing food.
Yeah,
and we don't have to own the land necessarily. you know, we've got all these students, you know, that are graduating from college, and they've got these heavy burdens, right, of student loan debt that they have to start paying 2 months after they've graduated. And 75% of them will not find a job in their field. So why shouldn't they, you know, let's say I don't want to farm my yard, right? But I would love for someone to do that.
Right.
And then they get a portion of that harvest. And then we could have Lettuce Lane and Broccoli Boulevard. Because I'll tell you, wherever food is growing, it's a different feeling. It feels different than grass. It's not sterile. And why? Because food is what connects us. That is our connector. So, you know, you are germinating all over Myrtle Beach. Now, you know, they're doing this across the country. They're doing it down in Florida, Fleet Farming. I went down and visited them. They have 60 farmlets. It's a community collaborative, and they're all doing it on bicycles.
I love it.
Isn't it wonderful? They have 300 people on the waiting list to have their yards farmed. And it's different. It's different to drive around a neighborhood, right? And who has tomatoes on their front yard? Who's got the basil? Who's got the sorrel? You know?
That's right. That's right.
But we did this already. We've done this. We've done this during World War II in Victory Gardens. So we're repeating it now.
Yeah, I say pull out the azaleas and put collard greens. That's what I say.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't eat the turf, man, and you can't eat the azaleas. Now, you just started this March of 2015, correct?
No, ma'am. 2016.
2016. So it's only, so you were diagnosed in 2015.
In October 2015, I was diagnosed, and it didn't take me very much of a turnaround to figure out I need to get into a lifestyle that promotes healthy eating, because I'm a foodie and I'm going to watch the Food Network and say, oh, I got to make ribs tonight. You know, I need to be, I got to have a stronger influence than the Food Network.
And I follow you on Facebook, and your wraps are just to die for, my dear. Tell them what you make your wraps out of.
I am so excited, and I'm going to geek out right now because because I'm driving around town, and it used to be Chick-fil-A for me, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to cry. I want to say I don't have anywhere that I can stop if I'm famished and get something. There's nothing. There's nothing that's suitable for me, that I'm acceptable for me. So I said, you know, what can I wrap a sandwich in that's not made out of carbohydrates or processed foods? What can I do? And then I'm in the garden later that day, and the collard greens are beautiful tortilla shaped. And it was like the biggest aha that I have ever had. So now I'll get shredded chicken breast and shredded carrots and purple cabbage and a little onion. I make all kinds of collard wraps and then roll it like a burrito. I make them for my dentist office, a big platter of them, and they go crazy.
What did you put in it the other day? There was some kind of a sauce you put in it.
Okay, I don't put anything in it because it gets drippy, but I have several different selections of sauce,
That's it.
So
yep.
One is a Asian peanut sauce, and that's like Ken's light Asian dressing, but you put the powdered peanut butter in there. So you get all of the pop of flavor. And the cool thing is you cut it in half. So you have like this chicken and vibrant colors, and you can pour the dressing on each bite. Like you don't have to worry about, like, you can only have a teaspoon of something.
Well, we're going to put your Facebook page in the show notes. So everyone listening can follow you and follow this wonderful movement that you have going, Farming Yards, up there in Myrtle Beach. So in 2016, you started, and you started on 2,500 square feet, right?
We have a quarter acre lot.
Right. And what came out of that lot that first season?
Okay. Well, the interesting thing is that we had a well dug in the whole nine yards. And we planted okra and bush beans, and we did cattle panel tunnels 26 feet long, you know, joined them together, and The Facebook page is called Gem Farm Fun, G-E-M, Gem Farm Fun. You can see all kinds of cool pictures that we've done. We have mimicked our idols in other farming, you know, Facebook pages and done some fun things. But we did, what we did was we learned a lot. We learned that if you don't watch the holes in your fence, you know, where the ground dips low and the rabbits come under, then you're not going to have any beans or squash or zucchini. I mean, we had all this growing, you know, to see what worked well. Everything was going well. The peppers did the best.
Peppers.
We didn't know anything about fertilizers. We didn't know anything. So when we found compost in a box, we
how did you find Evan?
Okay, Evan. So I have to expose my young man.
Okay.
He's 15 now. To different things. Mm-hmm. I have to get him out of the house and show him different stuff.
Yep.
So there was a hydroponic store in Wilmington, mm-hmm. and that's Evan's mm-hmm. business, mm-hmm. Progressive Farms. And so we would go, and it was like we were children in the candy store. We were just looking around like all the things that we could do. And one of the things I feel so blessed, if you will, is he's growing wheatgrass, trays of wheatgrass, which I was thrilled. Mm-hmm. Anything growing just gets you kind of excited.
Yeah.
And then he's growing trays and trays of microgreens, which I'm hooked.
Mm.
I turned my whole sunroom into a microgreen factory. Okay. So, and my laundry room at one point. So, I'm not kidding.
Like, I believe you. I know. My brain is not hardwired correctly either.
No, I'm not wired that way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I started growing wheatgrass, and I bought a special grinder to, you know, to grind it up and, you know, make wheatgrass shots. And so I was very, very happy to meet. And, oh, I know, I got a gallon of his tea to take home.
Yeah.
And I put it on my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not joking when I tell you that my
Genovese and basil.
Okay. I Googled it. It's supposed to be around 12 inches, you know, 18 inches tall. It was 4 feet tall and the leaves were as big as my hand.
I know.
My banana trees were in excess of 15 feet tall. I mean, it's unbelievable.
My zinnias, the last season, they were 8 feet tall. Zinnias cut and come again.
My goodness.
It was like a forest. I grew sunflowers. I had one sunflower that was 11 feet tall, 11 inches around the base. I had to use a tree saw, and it did not fully decompose for over 2.5 years.
My goodness.
I tell you, it's magical, isn't it?
It is. It is. So Progressive Farms closed their retail location.
Yeah.
And I flipped out. I couldn't stand. I was like, wait. So I Googled and I called and I did whatever I did on Facebook to try to get a hold of someone. And I believe I got a hold of Evan.
Mm-hmm.
And just through the course of, I told him just what I said there.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about what you do and you don't do it anymore. And I'm very upset. And he said, I'm focusing all my energy on, you know, making micro compost in a box. And
right.
Micro makers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I followed them and I'm just astounded at the intellect this young man carrying around inside his brain. I mean,
it's really incredible. He is one of the co-founders of Farmyard. There's four of us and each of us are doing exactly what we need to do, our sweet spots. And it's just so, it's so powerful. You know, he is really a very deep thinker. And he's a young man. I mean, he's 38, 39 years old, you know.
Right.
But we've got to get the word out because we cannot have entities like microbe makers not functioning on a high level.
Right.
And if we don't purchase what he's offering, it cannot sustain itself. It's really very simple. And what a loss that would be, wouldn't it?
Oh. It would be terrible. And I'll tell you, the testimony in my backyard is, I mean, there's no way to recreate those results without, like, that product, because it has, there's several different steps to it. Do you know what I mean? It's not just like your average handful of whatever out of the Walmart bag or something.
Exactly.
So I think it's like gold.
Oh, I don't know. I just feel that now is the time for it to spread. And could you imagine if everyone was spraying this, even just on their lawn?
Yes, that might be your new tagline. Now's the time for it to spread.
I mean, you know, it is. It's time. The time is now. Because what has to happen is we have to enliven our soil. Our soil is dead in our country. It's just placeholders for plants. I mean, I spoke at the United Nations. God, it must have been 8 years ago at a conference entitled Food, Famine, and the Future of Food Technology. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do not know why they invited me. I don't know if they didn't read my bio, if they didn't know who and what I was about, but this conference, it was 3 days, and it was GMO scientists from all over the world. France, proclaiming the glories of GMO seed. And I was the next to the last up to get up and speak. And I got up and I was just really, I said, you know, not one of you spoke about the earth beneath your feet. I said, it's a 6-inch layer of topsoil. And the fact that it rains, that's what feeds the world. But you're using that earth as a placeholder. That's all it is. And because of that, we have very, very difficult health issues in our country. Look, I'm 62. Thank God that I'm not in need of any pharmaceuticals. The worst thing that I have is I got T-boned in my Subaru 3 years ago, and it rolled over 3 times. And don't roll over in your Subaru; it's not good for your health.
Oh, boy.
And I got 4 herniated discs in my neck. But even that, I didn't have it operated on. And I manage inflammation in my body naturally. I mean, we have so many things. I don't know, drives me a little kooky. Maybe it's because of my grandma taught me everything I know. And when I tell people, let's say they injure themselves, I say, well, get in a bathtub with Epsom salt. And they look at me and they say, Epsom salt? What is that? I said, well, it's going to take all the toxins out of your blood. Now, when you get out of the tub, you have to make sure you hydrate yourself really good. You know what I mean? And drink really good water. But even that, I've been drinking alkaline ionized water for 10 years because these are the things that run my body. And that's really important, my body. You know, I don't want to be old and gray and hurting and in pain and diseased. And it all starts with the food that we're eating. And you know, you're really a brilliant woman, honey. You really are, because your intuition into what happened to you connected directly to your food source is something that the general populace doesn't have.
Well, you know, I think if you ask the right question, you're going to get the right answer. But there's so many people walking around not even asking a question until they get sick, right?
Yeah, and then I believe a good percentage of us have had, we've given all our responsibilities away, right? So we have children. We're not responsible for their education. We drop them off at the doors of school. Our health. We're not responsible for our health. Our doctor is responsible for our health. We don't have any more responsibilities. And we're kind of like a hamster in a wheel, you know. We get up and we put on our socks and we put up our pants and we brush our teeth.
Yeah.
And we're
just
going through these motions of life. Now, why is that? It's because the food that we're eating does not have the nutrients in it to support our will into action. It's all in the food. Look, even the water, fluoride, you know, just Google that. It's the second ingredient in rat poison. It's to dull the brain. So we want to be enlivened. And in order to be enlivened, we have to eat food from a source of soil that has life in it. It just makes sense, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I agree.
You have a lot of buggers floating around. You said you have a worm farm. Tell us a little bit about your worm farm.
Well, when my son was six, seven, eight, he was met with several different, which I think is shocking, aggressive dogs here, there, yonder, wherever. And he said, "Mom, I can't." If he saw a chihuahua in some lady's arms at the park, he'd go to the car. He was like, "No, no." So we can't have a dog, and we can't have a cat because I'm allergic, and we can't have, I'm not having gerbils. Okay. So I said, "What am I going to do? I have to." So what we did was, I got a worm farm, and I said, one day his, and then we started with aquariums. We had four aquariums, one salt, two tropical, one goldfish. Anyway, so his teacher said one day, a project was, "How many pets do you own?" And he came home. He said, "Mom, we got to figure this out." We figured out we had 1,000 worms and 54 critters in the tank. So he said 1,054, you know. But it taught him to say, "Hey, you know, this is something I can start with," right? And then I realized what worm castings were.
Worm poop. You could say poop. You could say poop on my podcast. I love worm poop.
Worm poop. And let me tell you one other thing about worm farming. I got the cute kind. I can't stand those ugly worm farms. They don't do anything for me. And I don't like ugly things in my worm farm. I like to do shredded paper, not leaves and sticks. I don't want to see no leaves and sticks. I want to see shredded paper from my shredder, from my office.
Right.
And I want to see some strawberries that got away from me. They're moldy. Put those in there. Right. Yep. Some carrot peels. Right. Organic in, organic out. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So one day I was moving things around. I was like, "Ew, worms, ew." And then I had to touch them for some reason. And I was like, "This is so cool."
Oh,
this is
yeah.
so meditative, because once your hands are dirty, you know, you can sit there for a minute. And I thought, this is pretty cool.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It was just so peaceful.
Yep.
And so I don't like put my hands in the worm farm all the time, but I don't mind it. I love them.
Oh, it's, I throw everything in mine. I throw everything in mine. I want to see what they're going to do. They demolished a corn cob. They demolished a corn cob. I have so many worms. I've never had a worm farm before. But when I got down here to the soil, and I'm not producing enough material to really build a compost pile, you know? So
right.
I said, I have to have worms. So I got my worms. I got them from the worm ladies up in Cranston, Rhode Island. And I got my wigglers, right? 1,000 wigglers. And They were due to arrive the day the hurricane arrived, the day Matthew arrived. Yeah. And they were stuck in the post office for 10 days. Now, look.
Uh-oh.
Could you imagine if you were stuck in the post office for 10 days?
What happened?
So when they got here, I had my bin ready, everything together. I opened it up and I talked to them. I said, "I am so sorry. But I've got like a really high class hotel out here for you. So don't worry about nothing, kiddos." I threw them in there. They exploded. And talking about touching them, they really are, it is very meditative. Sometimes I just take the lid off and I sit there and I just look at them. Of course, they all go down when they hit the light. But all those white little threads in there, those are all little baby worms.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just amazing. And worm poop. Just Google that, folks. Worm poop. You won't get anything more fertile than worm poop. Well, there is one other thing that's more fertile than worm poop, and that's bat poop. But it's all in
guano.
Guano. It's all in the poop category, you know?
Yeah, and I wanted to mention one other thing. So my whole, I get like multifunctional, if you will. So I can't just do one thing. I think you're that way.
Yeah.
So here's what I do. I like to find free resources.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's going to tell me that a community garden is not going to work because it costs money. Because
no.
I have got a laundry list of free resources. One of which is, I go to Sam's Club and Costco all the time. So yep. I go to Sam's Club. They get their frosting in
The 4-gallon big buckets. Yes, yes. With the lids, with the lids.
Yeah.
Those are nice click-on lids.
Yeah, and they're easy on, easy off. That's a big deal.
Yep.
So I said to the lady, hey, do you have any buckets? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I'm doing a community garden, and I really, oh, let me go get you some. Uh-huh. I mean, people get excited about it. So she gave me 6 4-gallon and 6 1-gallon with the lids. They are food grade. They had frosting in them. You got to clean them up a little bit better than they did. But the cool thing is our farm is called Jim Farm Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having my sign station people do stickers because they have a little ingredient list, but you can peel that off, get it off. And I'm doing stickers on the side for my community to do, since they do have the lids, to put a liner in and put a lid on it and to give me their composting scraps, their coffee grounds. And there's a do and do not list on the side and bring it over and drop it in my compost pile.
That's perfect. And if you go on to the City of Orlando's website, you'll see that they are giving residents buckets just like that to put their compost in.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. So that might be something you want to bring to the Myrtle Beach executives' attention, that they really could look to Orlando because they're already into it now, you know? Yeah, and boy, I tell you, if we just looked right now in our country, 50% of all the food grown is wasted.
It is.
Which means it goes to the garbage.
It goes to the garbage. It's supposed to go to re-nourish the earth so that we can grow more stuff, but it goes to the ocean and it goes to the landfill. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Another source of free material would be a coffee shop. If you got 2 of those buckets, right, and you go to your local coffee shop and say, gee, if I give you an empty bucket, will you put the coffee grinds in there? And then I'll come back and pick up the full one and give you an empty one, right? Because they're easy on and off lids, they could kick it off with their foot. They don't even have to touch it.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but Starbucks has a program called Grounds for Gardens.
They do.
And I go in the door and I tip them $1 and ask them for the grounds, and they give me a giant trash bag full.
Here they don't do it because of the bugs. And we only have 1 Starbucks in the area. So I guess it depends on their attitude as well, or how busy they are.
They give me whatever's in the trash can, or, you know, whatever the right there.
At the moment.
Yeah. They just give me whatever they have. Boom, boom, boom. Right there.
And a spent coffee grounds. Worms love it. And not only that, it's a great soil conditioner, and add some nitrogen in there.
Right.
So I think we gave the listener some really good tips. The one thing I want to ask you before we close, because I know you're busy and you have to run, is this. If you knew nothing about farming, nothing about growing food or anything like that, if you could wind that clock back to where you were, would you do it again? And would you recommend anyone else to just go ahead, just dive deep and do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I have to say that our master gardener instructor grows everything in his vegetable garden in pots. So if you don't even have a piece of ground or a front yard, you're in a townhouse, you can grow in pots. And I'm telling you, once you get the fever, once you get to doing it, it's an infection, and you'll do it more, and you'll try to teach 5 people how to do it.
And that's what we have to do. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's the point of time we're in right now. We have to eat the food where it's growing, and we have to grow the food where we are. I want to thank you so much, Diana, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I've been excited all morning about our interview.
Our talk. Yes. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to check back in with you maybe sometime in August and see how your season has gone up to that point.
Wonderful. I forgot to mention that last summer you asked me what we were growing. The well threw out a lot of sand, and we didn't know it. It clogged up the irrigation, and our stuff just wilted on the vine, and we didn't have any rain for 6 weeks. And we go, I guess that's the summer. We don't know. Right. And then now we know, we put a sediment filter. And so we learn every time we turn around, we're learning something new. And that's the fun of it.
And that's what we want to express, that's what FarmYard's about. So you get all of these tips so you don't have to make any of the same mistakes that we've made, right?
Right. And I think it's just such a wealth of information and resource that you can communicate with somebody first person. If you have an immediate question, you can get an immediate answer.
Most definitely. And we're going to put all of Diana's information about her farm and any links that she has in the show notes as usual. Well, thanks again, honey. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Next on the FarmYard Podcast, The Biodynamic Summer with host Linda Borgie and guest Stuart Lundy. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through FarmYard, all one word, on patreon.com.